Yesterday, when we discussed this first verse in the Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, Maya Sri Bhagavan Vaja, Maya Asakta Vanapata, Yogam Yunjan Madashaya, Asamshayam Samagrammam Yathajna Sisi Tachrano. So, Krishna is going to present this Jnana Vijnana Yogam chapter. Important chapter in the Bhagavad Gita in the sense that, as we saw yesterday, that Jnanam and Vijnanam, isn't it? Jnanam and Vijnanam. So, we talked about this, that Yavat Sal Asudandratvam Tavad Isharado Bhayam. You have to be frightened of God so long as you are thinking that you are under the control of others. When we say that, what it means is that material body is always under the control of somebody. Under the control of someone, isn't it? Like, when we are born, we are not in control of anything of the situation as far as body is concerned. Then the parents took control of the body, material body. They took control of it. After we have grown up, when we started working, the employer takes control of the body. Isn't it? We see that practically in life, that's how it is. Employer, or if you are doing business, all your customers take control of your body. You have no freedom. That is the reality. Nobody has any freedom. If you are not doing that, say if you are living, you have enough money, you are living at home with family, the family take control of your body. Wife will say, I have some claim on you. Or children will say, they have some claim on you. So, when you get to the old age, again, practically there is not much of a freedom there. The body is under the control of material nature, and material nature will dictate how the body should function. There also you have no control over the body. So, from beginning to end, cradle to grave, body has no freedom. Gam dugda doham asatincha bharyam deham paradhinam asal prajamcha vittam todartegradam angam vajam heenam maya rakshari dukkha dukhi. Krishna says to Uddhava, it is like this. Gam dugda doham. Suppose somebody has a cow. Someone has got a cow. He bought the cow, thinking that the cow will give milk. But the cow is barren. The cow cannot have any children, any babies. So that means you cannot get any milk from the cow. Will anyone keep such a cow? He will sell it off, isn't it? What's the point in looking after a cow which cannot? Nowadays, of course, when our sentiments were very strong, we talk about looking after cows and all, very more than what we would have otherwise normally done. Normally, cows are not to be killed. If you don't have to look after them, at least we don't kill them, that's enough. But gam dugda doham asadinja bharyam, that Krishna is saying that in life a situation can happen. He's giving an example like this, that if one has a cow who cannot give milk, what's the use of that cow? Krishna is asking this question. Asadinja bharyam, one has got a wife, but Krishna says she is a asat. Asatinja bhairyam. Asata means what? That she is constantly giving pain to the husband. So if he is like that, of course it has to take him the other way also. You have a husband who is giving constantly pain to you. Because it's spoken to Uddhava, it's spoken like this. Gam dugdha doham asatinja bhairyam. Then he says, he's talking about us. Deham paradhinam. This deham, body, is paradhinam, is somebody else's control all the time. Our so-called independence in this world is so limited, practically. Deham paradhinam. It's always somebody is putting some claim on you. You have no freedom for anything. Either from the parents or from the wife or from the boss or from the friends or from the society, whatever it is. Deham paradhinam. That is the reality of this body. All these things have happened in life, in one's life. Added to that, what happened? Asal prajamcha. He has got children who is also asat. That means if you say, tell him to come this way, he'll go that way. That kind. Deham paradinam asal prajamcha. That you have got children, they are totally useless. Useless in the sense of no use to you. He's only there to extract as much help and time and energy from you, and he will use you very much, and then he will go. So if you get a son like that, what's the use? Krishna is asking. If you get a children like that. Deham paradhinam asal prajamcha. What else? Vitam chaturthi kridam. Okay, he has not bothered about all this. He went on making money in this world. A lot of money he made. Somehow or the other, doing business or whatever way, he has managed to make a lot of money. Vitam tadarti kridam. But unfortunately, all the money he made is not in the proper way. Because you know, if you have to make a lot of money, it's not always easy to make in the proper way. You got to have certain good accountants to support your accounts and to write the proper accounts the way it should be. Otherwise, if you start making money in this world, it's very difficult. There will always be so many problems. But he has managed to make money, like big, big businesses, if you take their history and look at it, there is, practically you can see, almost all businesses have made money through means which are not totally honest. Isn't it? It's always like that. It's how businesses flourish in this world. But that is another, that is business, that you can forget it. But what Krishna is saying here is, Vitam tvadarti kridam. And he has made this money and then he's frightened that the money will be taken away by the government, or he may lose it some way or the other, either due to banks collapsing, or share market collapsing, or property prices going down. Whatever it is, so many things can happen in life, isn't it? Suddenly you see one person who was valued at about 50 billion, next year he is valued at 30 billion. You see that all the time, isn't it? In the paper you see that. Last year he was 50 billion worth. Now he says he's only 30 billion. Where is this 20 billion gone? So this is how they value people. So especially to those billionaires, at least if you look, they'll say one person was so much last year, and if this year they'll say he is only worth this much this year. And next year he may again go up. This is how that wealth they are talking about. Vitam tadarti kridam angavajam heenam maya rakshati. Then if all these things happen, what should one do in life? If everything has gone like this, first of all, whatever is giving example that he got this cow he cannot give you any milk. Got a wife, she is not very agreeable and always quarreling and fighting and giving trouble. Or a husband the other way. And or in other words, got children now, the children also are not any of use. They are also not any of any help. And then there is a lot of money he has made. That money also he can't completely use it because that money was not made in the proper way. There's a lot of problems in there also. When all these things happen, what should one should do? That is when Krishna is saying, Vittam tadarti kridam angavajam heenam maya rakshati dukkha dukhi. Krishna says to Uddhava, that person is very unfortunate. The only thing what he can do is at that stage, whatever he is saying and doing in this world after that, if he has come to that state, he should do it for me and glorify me. If he does that, he can find some happiness in life. Otherwise, there will be no happiness in life for him or no future in spiritual life either. You will see in the Bhagavatam a few personalities like that. If you have studied Bhagavatam, you will notice it. The king Anga, for whom he was king. King means a lot of wealth, isn't it? Got a very nice son called Vena, isn't it? Vena came, and what happened? One night, Anga decided, that's enough, is enough now, I'm going. He said, he left home, walked away from home, isn't it? And so, like this, there are, why all these things are spoken to tell us that if you think that material life you can adjust and adjust and adjust and become happy here, that's not going to happen. One day the whole situation will become very disturbing, and then you will be forced to leave everything. So prior to that, you know that story in the Bhagavadam, the glories of Srimad Bhagavadam in the Padma Puranam. Famous story of Atmadeva and his wife Dundugari together. Atmadeva was a Brahmana who didn't have children. And he was fixed on this, I must have children. Because he has a lot of wealth also. So naturally wealthy people are very worried, who is going to look after all this wealth. I worked all my life very hard and created so much wealth, and suddenly one day it's going to go. So if he feels some satisfaction that if he has children to look after that wealth, what he has made after working so hard. If you don't have much wealth to give, then there is nothing much to worry, that you can leave this world peacefully. But those who got wealth, they got wealth. So Almadev's situation was like that. And Dundugari was like this, Asatinja Bhairyam, wife who is, she was, had no interest whatsoever in spiritual life or even having children. She didn't want to have children either. She said, if I have children, I lose my beauty. My beauty will go. That was her concern. So with all this, Dundugari and and she used to quarrel with Atmadeva all the time. It was then that Atmadeva was always wandering around, went to this river bank in Tungabhadra river, and that is where he met this sannyasi. Sannyasi told Atmadeva, don't worry about married life, take sannyasam and leave home now. If it's not working, what can be done? He says, no, what is the use without having children, what life is there? This was his answer to the sannyasi. Sannyasi tried very hard to make him understand, but it won't work. Eventually, sannyasi chanted some mantra and gave him a fruit and told him to take this fruit with him and give it to your wife, he said. And she will become pregnant and you will have a son. And that son will give you a lot of happiness, but that very same son will become a cause of your distress also. This is how he gave it to him. He says, Atmadeva said, I'm not worried about the distress, let me have the happiness. So he took the fruit and left. Then he goes back, goes away. And then he gave the fruit to the wife, but wife was a little, as usual, very disobedient and never listened to him. She didn't take the fruit, she gave it to her sister to take. the sister's child, sister had a child, but sister was pregnant. And it so happened the sister was not very rich, she was very poor. So sister wanted money and Atmadeva was wealthy, so they could give money to her. Without Atmadeva's knowledge, Dundugari took the sister's child as her own child and brought up that child. And part of the fruit which was given to the cow, that delivered a baby. And that baby was born from the cow, had ears like Gokarna, he was called. His eyes were like a cow because it came from the cow. Now, the cow took that fruit, part of that, and the cow became a devotee. And the child who was born was also a devotee. But the sister of Dundugari, I don't remember her name, Dunduli or something like that, she had, her child was born as a demon, real demon. Eventually, and that child was brought up in the house by the mother. And in a natural way, the child became very demoniac. And he had no interest whatsoever in any of the spiritual life, what Atmadeva was trying to train him up. He thought, it is my son, I should train him nicely. But he had no interest in anything. He became a real, what do you call, a threat to his life. One day, Atmadeva felt that he is going to kill him, the son. When he came to that stage, Atmavidya said, that's enough for me, I'm leaving. And he walked away from home, went to the forest, and then practiced spiritual life and left this world. The mother, on the other hand, had no interest in spiritual side, and the Dundugari got into trouble with the son. The son pushed her into a well and killed her. Mother was killed by the son. This whole story is in the Padma Purana, 6 chapters, referring to the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why I am saying that was that the nature of a person is that in order to bring that vairagyam inside, in Bhagavatam, these stories were spoken. So, tavad isharado bhayam, that's what we are talking about. That fearing God is not what is expected from us. Fearing God is not what is expected from us. So, anything what you do not know is always frightening. That is another interesting thing, isn't it? So, because in the Bhagavatam, if you remember that verse, yavasyal asurandratvam tavad isharadho bhayam, that when you know you are paradhinam, you become paradhinam. You can see Almadeva's case. He, in a subtle level, he was under the control of his family, isn't it? Wife and the son. And he will not leave home in spite of the fact that the sannyasi has told him to leave home. He won't listen. Why? Paradhinam. That possessiveness of the wife and the family was in his consciousness very strongly that he couldn't leave. That is paradhinam. Paradhinatva means that. So he could not free himself from that state. Deham paradhinam asal prajamcha. Asal praja was that son who was born from that. Asal praja. Vittam tvaturthi kridam. And he had a lot of wealth, but what was the use? Angavajam heenam maya rakshati dukha dukhi. He was always in distress in life. Always in distress in life. So if a stage comes like that, Krishna says, the only thing you can do, that is your aswadandratvam. Aswadandratvam means that you have no freedom, no independence to do anything. Completely under the control of family or society or your own senses. And you cannot take that initiative to take to spiritual life and to realize the truth. From all sides, some problem is coming and controlling your life. That is aswadandratvam. So Krishna is saying, yavasyal asvadandratvam tavad ishwarado bhayam. As long as you are in that stage, asvadandrata stage, that means without any freedom, if you are like that in that stage, you will be frightened about God. You have to have that fear about God. Otherwise, there is no need to be frightened about God. That is the point Krishna is making here. He says here that frightened for fear comes from, and the greatest fear is death. Greatest fear is death. Somehow or the other, in our illusion, we are thinking, at least I can't think that I'll die today or tomorrow. It may come one day, but as it is, it looks everything is working. The body is working. Nothing can happen to me at this stage. And it is, when you notice that, when you don't know about something, you are frightened about that. Like ghosts. You are frightened about the ghost because you don't know about the ghost. Isn't it? Or when we leave this body, people ask this question always, what happens to after death? They will ask this question. So we will say to them that there is a state when it accepts a ghostly form before it gets this next gross body. It is in a state of, that is the time, first 10 or 15 days, what we call as Preta avastha, they call it. In Pretalogam, the soul goes to Pretalogam and no decision is made about the next body, about the next life. So in that state, the 10-15 days in different ways it is followed. Brahmanas it is 10 days, Kshatriyas it is 12 days, Vaishyas it is 14 days, or Shudras 15 days, like that. There's a certain period of time. And it is at that time that people perform austerities here, isn't it? Why do we perform austerities? Because the soul hasn't accepted another body yet. At that time, on his behalf, those who are close to him, relatives, for example, if father, mother dies, the children, they perform austerities here with this prayer, please relieve him from that state as quickly as possible. So, devotees who have advanced spiritually very much, they don't stay in the Praetalokam. They go through that. Quickly they fly through that. But those who have lived a normal householder life in this world, where they had a lot of accounts to settle, or they have a lot of karma they have performed here, which means that they will have pious results and impious results, all that to be accounted for. For them to make that decision what the next body will be, will take time. It takes time. And in other words, their path towards the next life is not towards Devayanam, it is through Pitriyanam. What is called as Pitriyanam. Their next planet is Pitralokam, where they go to. So before they go to Pitralokam, they spend some time in this Pretalokam, where in the ghostly body. Now that is what more worrying than it is in the Pitralokam. Once it goes to Pitralokam, the decision is made straight away which body you are going to have, and then accordingly all the tanmatra means, you know, for the five material elements, they have Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandham. All these tanmatras are given to the moon planet at that time. It's all in a subtle level expressed in the Bhagavadam. And similarly, mind, intelligence, false ego, all these things also, in a subtle form, it is existing. But it has to come to its gross form again to come to our next gross body. This is the process of death expressed and discussed in the Brahma Sutra. It talks about that. So all this long process is happening. When this is happening, we are very much frightened about these 10 days. If it has left this Pretalokam and gone, then the business is over. After that, you can't do anything for him or that person who has left this world. That is why all austerities are performed in that first 10 days. Then after that, you know that normally what is done is you perform all the ceremonies. You take go to the holy places somewhere. The priest, Purohit, performs all the whatever that is performed, the ceremonies, and then the ashes are flown into the river. In other words, the business is closed there. You have nothing else to do after that. Then every year you perform the Shraddha ceremony for another reason. Not for his benefit, for your own benefit you perform that. Not for his benefit. He has already moved on to the next phase of his life, to the next body. So that is one side of it. Why I was saying all that thing was here, when you don't know something, you're always frightened about it. If you know about it, you won't be so frightened. So Pretam state, this ghost state is like that. You don't know about it, so you're always frightened what it will be like. There's a ghost going around everywhere. And similarly here, death is like that. We don't know what death is actually, isn't it? We don't know what death means. People have to, because birth is concerned, we know a little bit. At least after we are born, how we are born, to some extent we have some information. But after death, what happens? What information? Because nobody has come back and told us yet, till now, what death is like. Once they are dead and gone, it's gone. They have not come back and told us. So it's all in our imagination. Everybody imagines death in different ways. No two people will tell you death is like this. They can't tell you that. Because it's completely in the imagination. In our imagination. We haven't got any clarity over death. Scientists will tell you one thing. And among scientists there will be difference of opinion. Isn't it? Similarly, philosophers will tell you about death in different way. And we see death happening in various ways in this world. Through accidents, through old age, through disease. Various ways death is happening. So what is actually happening at the time of death, no one is able to tell us clearly, isn't it? No, because nobody is able to come back and tell us what happened at the time of death. As soon as death happens, he's finished and gone, then you don't know anything about that afterwards. So that is why he says there that nobody has seen the death, and if we have experienced that, we can say something about it. And we can't remember that, the last death when it happens, because we are born by then. Once you are born, you have forgotten the oldness. So, just like we know, a dog can bite you. So you are frightened. And similarly, the fire can burn you. So you are frightened. But, the death is not like that. These are direct experiences, isn't it? The dog biting or a fire burning, they are direct experiences. So, So there is some experience and you know about it. What will happen if the dog bites? Or what will happen if the fire burns? But then something we have not experienced in our life till now, in this body, but we are frightened of that. This is the interesting thing about the death. We are all frightened about death in a very subtle level. We don't know about it because by engaging the mind in various activities, we are trying to escape from that fear of death inside. We know it is coming. When? That's the only question, isn't it? So the fear of death is always there in everyone. So if you ask the question that by seeing death you get frightened, that's also not correct. Because you are not seeing death anywhere. Why? The body is lying there. Body is lying there. We say he is dead. Body is lying there. And we don't believe in the soul either. Say, I don't believe in the soul. The person is dead. The body is lying there. So we don't understand about death anything then. Could be. Because we don't know the soul. I don't believe in the soul. I only know the body. And I think the body is lying there. So where is the question of me frightening about death? The body is still lying there, isn't it? So then why are we frightened about death? You can practically see here, this is what Krishna is saying. Actually, death is not what is frightening. What is frightening is this ajnanam or ignorance. That is the frightening thing. Death is not frightening because death is coming from this fear of death is coming from ajnanam or ignorance. It is that ignorance that is frightening us. I don't know about it, therefore I am frightened. Just like the ghost, I don't know about it, I am frightened about that. If you know about it, you won't be frightened. The same thing with the death also. We don't know what it is, therefore we are frightened. similarly, because we don't know Krishna, we are frightened. The same way. When you don't know anything about something, when you don't know anything about something, then you are frightened. Like death, we are frightened. Krishna, we are frightened. Why are we frightened about Krishna? Always thinking, he's up there watching me. He is definitely watching me. He's ready to act. He will punish me. He is only there to keep an eye on me. That's his job. This way we have thought. Why? Because we don't know Krishna. That is why. Just like we don't know death, we are frightened about death. We don't know the ghost, we are frightened about the ghost. We don't know about Krishna, we are frightened about Krishna. Krishna does not want us to be frightened of him. But we are created, this is our mind that is causing this problem. So, it is this fear in us, it is the fuel in our life that keeps this life going. That's the whole fuel behind it. So in order to get rid of that fear from inside, that is why we hear Srimad Bhagavatam and Vedantam. Hearing Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam is for this purpose, to get rid of this fear from inside, not to get rid of the death. Death will happen, but death is not why, because we don't know what is death, we are frightened about death. And that death, the cause of that death is, not the death is not the cause, but this ignorance of death is the cause of the fear inside. If you think about this, you will also agree with it, these things. People have, in the Vedanta Shastram, in Vedantam, they insist this, that your cause of fear is not due to death. It is due to that ignorance of death, what it is you don't know. Therefore, you have this fear. You have this fear. Only on a gross level, I will say, I'm frightened, I'm going to die. I'm going to leave this body. As far as Vedantam is concerned, the body is not yours. And the body has no reality, truth. All this lack of knowledge and lack of understanding of the soul is what is causing this fear of death. In other words, lack of self-realization, lack of knowledge of the soul is causing the fear of death. The fear of death. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, So, not only the fear, that is not the only emotions, that anything other than you creates problems to you. Anything other than you. That means when you start thinking independent of your existence outside this body, immediately you are frightened. How can I exist like that? Because you have made this body as your permanent abode to live here. So, strictly speaking, if you look at this way, desires, greed, lust, anger, they are all some variations of this fear only, in various forms of this fear. So, therefore, suppose you can see, somebody you love so much in life, you like a person a lot in life, and you are living together or something like that, and what is happening inside you? Always the fear, when is he or she going to leave me? In a subtle level, like death, it's also operating inside. So you can see there that the love you have for that person is actually inbuilt, although there is some feeling and love for that person, inside it is mixed with fear. It's mixed with fear. It cannot exist otherwise. In other words, bhayam or fear is the one all other emotions are centered around. All other emotions are centered around that, even love for another person in this world. So, what is the fear? Will he or she leave me one day? Will he or she leave me one day? Will something will happen to me or to him or to her, whatever it is. So, whichever form it is, doesn't matter, whichever form. It can be in the form of sickness, illness, some illness, or in the form of another distress, some other form it can happen. People can get separated in this world, isn't it? So, so whatever calamity it may be, that fear, you can look at people who like each other, who have relationship with each other, and they both carry this fear inside. Husband carries the fear, the wife carries the fear inside. Will we be separated one day? That fear will be there. Similarly, young men, women, when they get married, all they have done, they have signed the contract for this fear. That's the first thing, they have signed the contract for this fear. And then from then on, that fear will be inside for the rest of the life. That's the rest of the life. That's why it's saying like that. So, so this fear that some point in time will we be separated, this fear will come back. So, this chapter, 7th chapter, Krishna is saying here, the remedy is not anything else except knowledge, jnanam. Jnanam means jnana vijaram. Jnanam means taking knowledge from Krishna and reflection on that. Yeah, that is called jnana vijaram. In Shastram, they call it in different words. Jnana vijaram, Brahma vijaram. Different ways they address it in different ways. Tattva jinda. They are all words used for the same thing. But in principle, it's only one thing. That spiritual realization and constantly reflecting on that and coming to get rid of this fear from inside. Because what happens to a person who has understood it properly, understood means not with the mind and intelligence, but was practically realized it, for him fear goes away. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see when the 9 sages when they approached King Nimi, Kavi Maharshi said, bhayam didiyad abhinivesha tasyad ishad abhayadasya vivaryayo smriti. He says there that bhayam or fear comes to a person when he thinks there is 2 things in this world. I am separate, you are separate, he is separate, everybody is separate, separate. That is duality of this world. But when you come to the spiritual platform and see the truth of the soul, then that duality leaves. So that's why he says there, didiyal abhinivesadasyal ishad abedasya vivaryayo smriti. Our smriti or memory have accepted this false information from this world of duality, everything, and it has lost its the truth, honest reality of the truth of the soul, which is that it is not dual, it is one. So that is what he says here. So at some point in time, the remedy to escape from this fear is to drink this medicine of knowledge. There is no other choice there. There is no other choice. You have to take this medicine of knowledge. You may be a devotee and you may be practicing sadhana, everything, But because there is no surrender inside, this fear will be there. Fear comes to a devotee because there is no surrender. And because there is no surrender, there is always, you may be performing all sadhana very nicely. Sadhana will be fine. You are performing all your duty without any duplicity, doing things properly. But still, because there is no surrender inside, the fear will be inside. So to escape from that fear, the only option is, Krishna is saying here, jnanam, jnana vicharam, or reflection. And that is what is going to be discussed in this chapter. Jnana yogam, Krishna calls it like that. That is what, so all other things is preparing us to ready to get this message. That is what it does. All other things is prepares us to receive this message of how to do this jnana vicharam. Jnana vicharam, how to do that. That is what it does. So, at some point in life, one has to take to it. Yes, that is the right thing to do. That knowledge is there. We have to recognize there is something, I don't have it. That is the first thing. To recognize that there is knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita, but I haven't got it. I have to take it. I have no choice. I have to take this medicine. And I have to get rid of my ajnanam, ignorance from inside. Jnanam for what? To remove the ajnanam. So there is nothing, from spiritual point of view, there is nothing to gain in this world or to acquire in this world. There is nothing to gain or acquire in this world. All you have to do is to remove this ignorance from inside. Why? Because by creation, each one of us are complete and perfect. This is the interesting things in spiritual life. We have some misunderstanding, I would say, or misapprehension, whatever way you like to call it, that spiritual life is that we have to get something from outside. That's why we run around all over the world thinking this, thinking that. We do so many activities in this world with the understanding that I have to get something from somewhere. But Shastram is concerned, there is nothing to get from anywhere. What is required is that if you understand this, that by very way we are built, we are constructed or we are created, we are complete. Everything, the knowledge is already there. It's not that it has to come from outside. The complete understand, the soul is there, the eternity is there, blissful nature is there, and the knowledge is also there. Then why is it happening? Why do we feel that there is something lacking there? So we are always feeling that purnada. Purnada means this perfection or completeness is naturally Krishna has given to us. It's not to come from outside. These are spoken only to make us understand how important it is to go inward looking, to see the truth. Because all the time busy with the world outside is not going to help us very much. It will go on like this, that we'll be sorting out this problem, after that problem there will be some other problem somewhere, be sorting out. But that is not what self-realization is about. Krishna is taking to us that it is not, this perfection is not in the body. That is the first step. To think that perfection is not the perfection of our false ego or the perfection of the body. What we are trying to do is to train the body perfect as we can, isn't it? That's why we go to the gym, we go to jogging, we do so many things in this world to make this body perfect. Some misunderstanding, this is ajnanam inside. Ajnanam has got inside dictating to us, if you do all these things, you'll be okay. You'll be okay, at least we know death is there, but fear is also there, but still we do it. Why? We still go running miles and miles every day thinking that we'll be alright if you do all these things. A lot of people do that. So that is ajnanam. But so first thing what Krishna is saying there is that this ajnanam in the body must go first. Body will never become perfect. That we have to come to terms with it. There is no question of trying to think that I can make this body perfect. Purnatvam is not in the body. Purnatvam means this perfection is not in the body, it's not in the mind, it's not in the ego, it's only in the soul. That is the first thing. The perfection or purnatvam is only in the soul. And that is what we are. That's what we are. But due to our ajnanam or ignorance, what we do, as a devotee also we are doing this. Somehow or the other I have to keep my body in a healthy condition, we say, to do the devotional service. But actually it is not a devotional service I am doing it. I am doing it because I am frightened of death. Isn't it? We say like that. Oh, a devotee will say, I have to go twice a year for massage or Ayurvedic. It is not a good thing. It is complete ajnanam inside is speaking that. It is ajnanam inside. That thinking that I must have this treatment, that treatment, and so many, I should have the what diet, what herbal diet or whatever. So many things we do in this world. It's not that I have such an intense desire to please Krishna with my service. No. The subtle reason behind that is, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Fear of the body, losing the body. But Shastram is telling us, first thing the Shastram is teaching us is this, that you can never get perfection in this body, so don't put all your attention in the body. You'll be taking the greatest blunder if you do that. If you give all your attention to the body, you are making the great. Body is for vyavaharam. It's only worth that much. If a problem comes to the body, what treatment you can do it for that and leave it. More than that, don't expect anything from the body. If it works, it works. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. That's all. That's how you have to see the body. If you don't see the body like that, then otherwise body will become a cause of anxiety. Body. Krishna was saying that before, isn't it? That throughout life it will frighten you and frighten you and frighten you all the time in one way or the other. Though our own common sense, you don't require philosophy for this, is telling us that material body can never be perfect. So, material body will never be perfect. And when you look at great mahatmas, great personalities, great devotees, great jnanis and all that, even if you look at their body, you will see their suffering in this world. They have also suffered in this world. Prabhupada had to go through a lot of illnesses at different times in life. And even before he left the body, if you had seen him at that time, it was practically a small bag of bones. It was shrunk so much, whole fat, everything in the body has gone. And the body has become so small at the time while leaving the body. He was so small in size that practically everything has gone from the body. And for a devotee like him, if that has to go through, you can see that no matter who it is, however great he may be in this world, the body will show its true colors. At some point, it will show its pure nature. Because body is made of material elements. Five material elements. This chapter is more to talk about this material elements and our relationship with material elements. What, unless we understand that, we will completely misjudge things in the wrong way. So it says here that anything that is under the control of material nature can never be perfect. This is one principle. Bhagavad Gita's principle that is. Anything that is under the control of material nature can never be perfect. You look at anything in this world which is from the material nature, all the living entities, they all have to die and go. Even the dead things like these buildings and roads and anything, whatever you look at, you can see that they all have collapse one day. Material nature creation, because it is asatya, it has no existence. It has to deteriorate and die one day. And therefore, there is no perfection in any of them. So, anything that is coming from the material nature will have to go through old age, disease, death. These things. And it will have distress also. It will never become perfect. Same thing with mind also. If you think you can make your mind perfect, it will never happen. So, whatever that is outside the soul, it can never, what is outside us, can never become perfect. So, if you do not accept this, and if you do not come to terms with it, what will happen is, this first step, if you don't take it seriously, all our energy will be wasted in what is known as this Bahirangam. Bahirangam means that we will waste our energy in the externalities of this world. in the externalities of this world. That's what's happening to us now, isn't it? We have a certain amount of energy Krishna has given us. The soul has its potency. In this particular body, while here, it has certain strength, capacity to do certain things, and some determination, and some intelligence, some everything, little bit it has got, everyone has. But all that energy what we have will be wasted in the things outside this world, not knowing that it's not worthwhile investing this energy in that. Why? Because all of them are meant to be imperfect. It will never become perfect. So this is an important realization in life. This is an important realization in life. That means, if you have not come to terms with it, that before you hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, this is a requirement, that you should be finished with the world outside. Most of us, because we are trying to mix these two things together, which won't mix. Which one? Material life and spiritual life. It won't mix under any circumstances. Krishna is saying here, unless you have given up with this world, there is nothing to achieve here, there is nothing to gain here, there is nothing to attain here, and there is nothing in this world worthwhile pursuing. If you have not come to that conclusion, it will take a long time to have some benefit from Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. That's how it is. Because Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is the science of the soul inside, who is inside. And it is centered around that everything is spoken in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavatam. So it is such an important thing. The first step is that to come to these terms with this one thing, there is no perfection possible in the world outside. It is no point in wasting my time and energy in the world outside. If you have come to terms with that, Krishna is saying here, and this is particularly important to those who are following the process of jnana. Process of jnana margam is not an easy thing. Remember, jnana margam, bhakti margam, two processes we talked about, isn't it? Karma margam earlier in the Bhagavad Gita. So in jnana margam, this situation is the first requirement of a person. That a jnani who has come to the process of jnanam, he has already finished with this world. He has no interest whatsoever in this world. They call it by different names. For example, they say Jityasa Navrti. Jityasa Navrti, Prayatsa Navrti, Chigrisha Navrti, Jihasa Navrti. What does it mean? He says Jityasa Navrti. Jityasa Navrti means he has no more desire to know anything in this world. Jityasa Navrti. He has only one jityasa. What is Brahma jityasa? To realize the truth. That's only jityasa. He sees that none of these things in this world is helpful for him to realize the truth. He's not a scientist. Like a scientist is going after experimenting, researching, he has given up all that. He feels that that's all waste of time. As far as his goal is concerned, it's not going to help. He has given up all other money-making business and all other things in this world. Why? Because he has already realized that that is also not going to help me to get to the truth. He has come to that conclusion. So all other sources he has already finished. And he also doesn't have, which is known as Prayatsa Navrti. He has no plans that I have to become something in this world. He has given up that desire also. Because he is seeing that what is there to become in this world, that's all useless at the end for me. For as far as his goal is concerned. Then he also has come to the conclusion what is known as Chigrisha Navrti. Chigrisha Navrti means that he realizes very well there is nothing I have to get rid of from me. We have all this misunderstanding that I have something to get rid of from me. There's nothing to get rid of me. All I want to know is that I have to remove that ignorance, move that ignorance I should come out and I have to be situated in the soul. Other things will naturally leave me. I don't have to get rid of them. Like the body is concerned, I don't have to get rid of them. Mind is concerned, I don't have to get rid of it. It will go. And intelligence, same thing. Ego also is the same thing. And what is left after that is only me. The person, the soul. So, so it is that state what Krishna is going to talk about now, here, in this. So he also knows that he has nothing to get rid of. And he is also conscious, there is one more thing, that I have nothing to execute in this world. I don't have any duty, in other words, or karmam left in this world. So all these things, first thing is that there is nothing to know in this world, and I have nothing to attain or achieve in this world, there is nothing I have to get rid of from me, or there is no other duty I have to fulfill in this world, work I have to perform in this world. So all these things, what it does is, it creates a movement inside. It creates a movement inside. So that is the discussion here. So for some people, they would have reached that state already, and they are the people who go to the Jnanamargam. Who go to Jnanamargam. So you can see, I was mentioning this yesterday, that first six chapters Krishna spoke about karma. The next six chapters is bhakti, and the last six chapters is jnanam. But strange enough, Krishna begins his six chapters of bhakti with jnanam. So that's what I am saying, that we may say, due to our current situation that we are fallen into, or the miserable situation we are in, and because we are helpless, Krishna has told us that you start with bhakti. And when bhakti develops, but bhakti will not remain like that. At some point in time, we will have to understand all these things. There is no question. Without this knowledge, will come. Krishna will give it to us, or we will get it somehow through somebody. It will happen. So, but jnanam, you can't write it off. Although bhakti is spoken, at this point in time, bhakti is necessary because we are helpless. There is no other way. But jnanam goes with bhakti. That's why bhakti, when Krishna talks about the six chapters of jnanam, bhakti margam, he begins with jnanam itself. And that is why that after, in the Upanishads it is mentioned is pariksha logan karma chitan, that he has experimented with the whole world. Nirvedamayal agrada kridena. He has come to this vairagyam state and he has understood, I have nothing to do in this world. Agrada kridena. Tad vijnanartham sadguru meva abhigachet. Only at that point he is ready to receive the knowledge, if he has come to that state, this knowledge of the soul. You see, we all, people ask this question, if you think that I am not ready for it, then why should I hear Bhagavatam? Why should I hear Bhagavad Gita? This question will come naturally, because Upanishads are saying to us, pariksha logan karma jitan, nirvedamayal agrada kridena, tad vijnanatam sadguru eva abhigache chamil pani shotriyam brahmanishtam. This is the verse in the Chandogya Upanishad, I think it is there. So, according to that verse, you should only inquire about the truth after you are finished with this world. That no interest whatsoever in this world. And then, Nirvedam means Vairagyam has come. Agrada Kridena, nothing to do anymore in this world. At that point, what you should do? Tad Vijnanartham. At that time, for the sake of Vijnanam, or the realization, Sadguru Eva Abhigachet, you should approach a spiritual master. It says like that. And that spiritual master qualification is mentioned as Shamitpani Shotriyam Brahmanishtam. You should go to him in such a humility, keeping Shamit. Shamit is the dharba grass in the hand. It's a symptom of humility. And pay your, you will see Sanatana Goswami, when he went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, holding Shamit in the hand. You will see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita mentioned there. So Shamit Pani, and he should approach that guru who is like that, Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. He should be a Brahmanishtam. He should be situated on the platform of Brahmam, at least. Brahmasmi, aham Brahmasmi state, at least he must have reached that state. Shrotriyam, he should have studied all the Shastram very well, come to the full conclusions of everything. In that stage, he should approach him. That is what Upanishads are saying. So after saying all that things, that he says here, that it says that Parikshara, and after that, then you can live independently. Independently you can live. But this light, understanding should be there in the heart. This understanding should be there in the heart. Krishna is saying this, Jnana Vijnana Yogam, the seventh chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, is Jnanam and Vijnanam both. So you can see what a higher state that is, isn't it? Knowledge and realization. That's what Krishna is talking about. Knowledge as well as realization. Krishna says to, in the Chalishlogi Bhagavad Gita, remember, Krishna said to Brahma, I'll give you everything together. I'll give you the knowledge, I'll give you the realization. tadangam, with all the pre-requirement and after things, what you have to do. What is the pre-requirement? Pre-requirement is what we talked about. Shamam damam titiksha uparati shaddha samadhanam. The qualification for acquiring spiritual knowledge. What is the future thing? After that what? Shravanam mananam nididhyasanam. So Krishna says to Brahma, I'll give you all that, plus the knowledge, plus the realization, everything in one hang it. He gives it like that to Brahma. That's how Brahma gets enlightened in spiritual life, isn't it? Brahma became realized like that. So this is how it has happened with Brahma. So here also Krishna is saying here, a person who is looking for self-realization, he should come through these different steps like this. Pariksha Lokan, Karmachidan, Brahmana, Nirvedamaya, Lagratakradena. After all that, he should go to the spiritual master. And spiritual master will come to him at that time. That is guaranteed. That arrangement is there in the nature. Krishna's arrangement. Spiritual life is directly managed by Krishna. Krishna manages spiritual life. Everyone's spiritual life is directly managed by Krishna. From inside, from outside. So, because it is like that, there should be no anxiety whether anything is going wrong. Nothing will go wrong. Provided we have to accept Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam as it is spoken, and we understand it, you will see that at every step, Krishna is behind everything what's happening there in your spiritual life. According to the process, bhakti process or jnanam process, doesn't matter. If you are following the process, rigidly what Krishna has spoken, so he says here, this is where discrimination comes, vivegam. Vivegam is that discrimination. So, what is that discrimination? Discrimination is this, that material body is temporary. Material body is not perfect. Mind is not perfect. Ego is not perfect. Intelligence is not perfect. They are all meant to be destroyed one day. They cannot have permanent existence. And because they are like that, I am not going to identify with them. I will stay away from them. I will use them only for vyavaharam, not for taking shelter. Shelter will be always with Krishna. So, it is 20 to 7. We'll stop there. Then we'll start again on the next Saturday. We'll continue. I know Bhagavad Gita will go very slowly because we have only 1 hour. Saturday and 1 hour on Sunday. So, whatever speed it goes, it goes. We'll see. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.